broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with me. It's been a fun first hour. Let's hope we make an even more fun next hour, and then a more fun next hour after that. We're going to make it happen. And, you know, we talked a lot about Daniel Gafford, and some Razorback fans have already gotten to the point where they're like, you know, we understand the way that the business works. Daniel Gafford's gone. We understand it. It's about the money. Not all the time, but most of the time it's about the money. So I think he's gone. I know that there's still some glimmer of hope and some silver lining for a lot of Razorback fans thinking he's coming back, but I think he's gone. I don't blame him for going. I think it's over. Thank you, Daniel Gafford, for some of the craziest highlight dunks you'll see, at least since Michael Qualls. Appreciate what you did in the first year. Good luck in the NBA.
The windmill dunks are impressive, but everybody in the NBA can do that, right? Everybody in the NBA can do that. What he can do that not everybody can do at his spot is run the floor. And that, to me, is what provides the value that scouts, GMs, coaches, people that will make the decision on what he's really worth, how high he will go, is a big man that can run like a guard, a big man that certainly can run past the forward. So, I mean, that is why this to me is so interesting.
It may be just me, but it seems like the last 7 to 10 years in basketball and in football, the word motor has been thrown out so much. And it's like, oh, man, this guy's a good motor. Okay, but what can he do good on the football field? Well, I mean, you know, not really a lot, but he has a good motor. Or in basketball, man, this kid really has a motor. So you're telling me he runs up and down the basketball court? And they're like, yeah, okay, so does he have any skill? He's a little raw, but he really has a motor. And motor has gotten guys drafted in both sports very, very high, it seems like, over the last 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. You can't coach speed.
And You can tweak it,
but you can't really coach speed. You either have it or you don't have it.
Well,
speed is a factor in basketball, but his quickness is the difference. It's quickness that he brings to the table.
And then a lot of GMs, a lot of presidents, a lot of basketball ops guys also believe guys that just work hard, guys that play really hard and really want it, dive on the floor, run up and down the court, these guys are doing this before they're millionaires. If you have a guy that's already lazy, you think by guaranteeing him a first-round contract, let's say it's $2 or $3 million a year for the first 4 years, so just guaranteeing him $10 million, you think he's going to be like, okay, I got this $10 million, now I'm going to work hard?
No.
Or do you think, I got this $10 million, I'm going to become even lazier than what I was?
I'm
going to
be Jamarcus Russell.
At one point. Exactly.
Yeah.
And those are things that Daniel has going for him. He's a good kid, doesn't have any character issues. And a lot of people are going to want to get their hands on him because of his potential. And they think that, man, after a couple of years here in the NBA, after a couple of years of development, then at that point or whatever, we think that he could do special things. So I'm still saying, I don't know. He could go, he could stay, but there are more reasons for him to leave than they are for him to stay. And I'm still waiting for the reason. Now, once again, outside of the love for the school, just wanting to be a Razorback and wanting to be in college, okay, I'll take those reasons and okay, so I'll give you those reasons if that's what you're going to tweet me or call in and say. But other than that, there are just way more reasons for him to go than to stay at this point.
Daniel Gafford, I mean, is he a better prospect than Bobby Portis at this point? Because when I thought that Bobby Portis came in, I'm like, this might be as big as it gets for Mike Anderson as far as getting that type of talent in school. Because he was a five-star player. Everyone saw his ability. They saw how athletic he was and how big he was and just how he was he was a good shooter, too. He could step out and hit threes, too.
And you're probably right out of high school because, remember, Bobby was a McDonald's All-American.
Yes.
Just like you said, a five-star guy. So coming out of high school, you are probably right. I don't know if the rest of the years that Mike is coaching here, I don't know if he'll get a better individual or a more highly touted individual than Bobby Portis. This is another reason why Gafford should probably leave. Gafford has made the NBA take notice of him. He has played his way into the NBA draft. Because before this year, Gafford wasn't even in the top 100. And now we're talking about he's going to be in the top 20. And
strike while the iron's hot.
Right. I think he's a better – he isn't as skilled offensively as Bobby Portis is because Bobby can pass it a little bit better. Bobby can shoot it better and all that. But when it comes to athletic ability, Daniel Gafford has next-level athletic ability. He is the most athletic big, true big, if you're talking – 6'9 or better that has come through the University of Arkansas, which I don't know who's around in the 50s and 60s, but from 1970 until now, Daniel Gafford is the most athletic big man that has ever come through this school. So he has
NBA. You're not saying the best big man. No, he's just the most athletic.
The most athletic.
And I think
not even up for a debate.
No, it's not.
I think we need to discern the difference there because people – want to say, well, what about Oliver Miller? What about, you know, start listing big men
that were
maybe better big men, but as far as athleticism, I think you're just as I said to start the segment, no one could run the floor in this draft. I don't believe at his spot the way he's going to be able to demonstrate in any camp, in any combine, in any private workout. I mean, when he gets to display those skills, and it's already on film.
Right.
That's why he's going to be open under the basket in the transition game at the next level.
And I'm not even going to say that I've seen all these different players because I started following Razorback basketball in the mid to late 90s. All right. So I'm not going to try to pretend that I know all the players from way back when. But I'm just saying when I first started watching Razorback basketball this season and I saw Daniel Gafford, I'm looking at him like he there's no way that kid's 6'11 the way he's moving. The way he's running up and down the court, the way he's doing all that. It was just because you're so used to a Moses Kingsley or a Bobby Portis or guys like that where they were big and they had some athleticism, but he was just gliding down the court.
Did you see him play in high school?
I saw, other than highlights, I didn't actually watch him in person. But
I watched whole games and watched him play a year ago in the state tournament, and Nick saw some of those games. The player he is today versus the player he was just 12, 13 months ago, to me, Nick, that's just – amazing the transformation, the difference he is between then and now. I mean, that to me makes you wonder what is the potential. So,
and we shouldn't be as amazed because the guys that Mike and his staff have done the best with have been raw athletes.
Yeah.
You look at
Michael Qualls.
You look at Mike Qualls. Mike Qualls couldn't shoot or dribble whenever he came to school here.
All he could do was miss dunks because, I mean, he would go up and it'd be hard dunks, but he'd miss them.
That is it. You look at him. You look at Cody Clark. They took Cody Clark late from junior college, and Cody Clark has played more games in the NBA than about 95% of Arkansas.
The best four Arkansas has had under Mike Anderson.
Yeah.
If you want to call him a four.
Right.
But yeah.
Ja'Cory Williams, he leaves, and he's Conference USA Player of the Year. So those raw athletic guys that are long and versatile, Mike and his staff have done a very good job of getting those guys in and putting them in a position to succeed.
How much weight do you think, good weight, Dan put on between end of high school and where he's at now?
Oh,
because he physically looks like a different person.
That's a good question. Maybe 20 pounds?
I don't
25 pounds? And it looks like he can put on
and slowed him down a bit.
Another 20 or 25 pounds. And that's the thing about the NBA is you need an NBA skill set. You need to be elite in something. If it's you're similar to Trae Young and you're an elite shooter, Trae Young is one of the better shooters in the world. He has some of the better range in the world. If you look at other guys, if you look at Marvin Bagley over at Duke, when you're talking about a skilled big, he's one of the best skilled bigs in the world. And then you go to athleticism, and as far as athleticism from big guys, Daniel Gafford is one of the top, and it'd be tough to say, but I bet you size and athletic ability, he's probably top 50 to top 75 in the world. So you take everybody in the world that is 6'11 or taller, 6'10 or taller, has a 7'5 or 7'3 or 7'4, whatever his wingspan is or better. You take all those guys and you drop them in a gym and you just say, okay, I want to see how high you can jump, how fast you can run, how quick you can move, how you can change directions. To me, that's athletic ability. And I mean, I'm saying it's the top 75. You won't find 50 better athletes at that size in the world when it comes to basketball. So in saying those type of things, that's what's going to get you to the next level. Now, once you get there, you're going to have to work hard and do some other things to stay in there. But that athletic ability is what's going to get him there.
I think that he's done a great job of working hard, and I think that's going to what NBA scouts are going to love. I don't think he just was gifted this overnight. I think that he just worked hard in the gym and got to this point. And again, I think he's gone, but hey, I've been wrong before, and I'll gladly admit it. Tommy, tell him about Oaklawn.
Hey, this weekend going to be a great weekend to be on the infield at Oaklawn and really watching some of the best thoroughbred racing in the nation. It continues just a few weeks away from the Arkansas Derby. Got the Rebel Stakes last weekend behind us. And beginning this Saturday, you can register for the annual boat and truck giveaway. You can win a brand new full-size Chevy Silverado truck and a Tahoe deck boat all at Oaklawn. No purchase necessary. You got to be present to win when they give it away. Race fans also, as we said, enjoy the infield this weekend and get more details online at oaklawnanywhere.com. Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play and only minutes away.
Honest Razorback talk that never yields. Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back in. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason on the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. We were talking about Memphis. Now they hired Penny Hardaway as their new basketball coach. I think it'll be great for recruiting purposes because Memphis, to me, is also one of those schools that in basketball, like they've proven they can be good in football. I mean, what they were able to do with Mike Norvell over there, as well as in the past few years, even before him, they've established themselves as a pretty good football program. But still, I mean, even back in the Memphis State days, I mean, they were always one of those basketball programs that had to be dealt with. And one of the biggest reasons, because they didn't have to leave the Metropolitan to recruit. Yeah. They got some of the best players in. So I feel like them being good again and them having a vested interest would be cool. But also, I want to see Arkansas and Memphis strike this up again, have it going, because I guess it was a Calipari was the one that said, we're not going to be playing Arkansas anymore when he was at Memphis because he felt like he wanted to play more nationally competitive teams.
He didn't want to give Arkansas a name, a voice in the Memphis area to recruit on.
Yeah, which was, I guess, smart on his part because they knew that they were always had a footprint in Memphis for the longest time.
Yeah, I think, though, now that has changed just a little bit because the talent level in Memphis is not what it's always been. The talent level in Memphis, especially now since Penny is taking over at the college now, Memphis East is not going to be bringing in top kids from around the country. So I think the talent level is going to take a little bit of a dip. And in saying that, though, if Arkansas is on a kid in Memphis and Penny is on that same kid in Memphis, Penny doesn't have anything to worry about. And I think that's another reason that he won't mind necessarily playing the University of Arkansas. All this stuff with him, though, is going to work out. As long as he surrounds himself by other coaches that have been in the college game, that know how to recruit, that just know how to structurally run a collegiate program, as long as he surrounds himself by more of those guys and less of his friends, then I think he'll be perfectly fine.
So how long were you saying, was it 2 or 3 months ago that he was going to be the next guy and Tubby was gone?
Yeah.
Because, again, I like Tubby Smith.
as a person. He's always been a guy that's when he was at Kentucky, Arkansas, and them, there was a nice little mutual respect there. But I get Memphis's thing where it's like, you know, Tubby Smith, as good as it may be, he's past his prime as far as a coach.
10 years past his prime.
Yeah, and he doesn't really seem to be adjusting to the game very well as far as the recruiting practices.
You've got
to
recruit
that.
And you got to sell tickets.
Yeah.
That's what keeps you employed. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your prime. Can you recruit and keep players coming through your program? And can you sell tickets?
And can you keep the players happy? I'm telling you, the biggest – he was gone as soon as he ran the Lawsons off.
Yep.
And that means that you lose a 5-star, you lose a 4-star, and then you lose 2 other 4-stars coming up and the other 2 younger Lawson brothers. As soon as he did that, I think that really was – an eye-opener, and everybody kind of started to look. Because if he had both of the Lawson boys, he would have won a couple more games, meaning he would have sold more tickets. And now it comes all the way back around to if he kept those guys happy, if he kept their dad happy and kept them on campus, he may still have that job. He may not have that job. But I always felt like he was just a Band-Aid over the problem. It's like, well, we'll hire Tubby Smith, but let us go and see who we really want to get. Because a lot of people forget that Pastner just up and up kind of left.
Yeah.
And it wasn't one of those that you really thought that he was leaving. It wasn't one of those that they were warned. He just left, and at that point they had to hurry up and go get a coach, and that's where Tubby came in at. So I don't know if they ever were completely sold on Tubby, and then after he ran the Lawson brothers off, it definitely was over.
I think coaches are smart by doing that. I think Quanzo Martin at Missouri, getting the Porters, the kids, basically, to have a run through there by having their dad as an assistant coach. I don't think that's, some people say that's kind of shady or anything. I think it's brilliant. If you're able to just guarantee and package up a deal where you have potential players coming, NBA-style players coming into your program for the next 4 or 5 years or whatever it may be, however many kids they have, I think that's a brilliant move because it at least instills that to where you don't have to worry about going out and trying to get these high-dollar, high-big guys.
Or in Missouri's case, if it would have given you 1 year. I mean, one boost kind of at the start of your tenure there,
yeah.
In Martin's case. And it didn't work out because of the injury, but they still made the tournament.
It didn't work out as far as him playing, but we all still talked about Missouri this year more than we have in the past and more than we were under Kim Anderson.
But Missouri, with Porter healthy playing all year, may have been in the hunt for a 2-seed, 3-seed,
possibly. I mean, you see what they did.
They got to the tournament without the guy.
Without him, and he could have been the best player in college basketball. So you add the best player in college basketball to a team that makes it to the tournament, and you have a really good chance. But I'm with you. I'm all about it, especially because you're only talking about one assistant spot.
Right.
And I'm all about taking a guy that if he does have a couple of sons, and not only that, but you have to look at the fact that whenever he took the dad and then the 2 boys committed, look at all the other guys that they were able to get because those 2 guys committed as well. Other guys that are going to be there for 3 or 4 years. And so that's always worth it to me. And I'm always down for a coach or a coaching staff hiring a guy's parents, especially if they're a 5-star.
Well, it's like you said, Tommy, it's all about recruiting and selling tickets. And a lot of times having great recruiting is what sells tickets.
Yeah.
If you get because let's be honest, if Arkansas was able to get Malik Monk as good as their year was, I mean, they went to the tournament, they won a game. But you talk about having even more sellouts, even more interest, even more attention brought to the program just because of there's one guy like that.
Right.
There's one player like that. And it could be any other player. Anytime you get a 5-star or a top 5 player in the country, especially to go to a place like Arkansas that doesn't get them like Kentucky or Duke or Kansas or anything like that, it automatically just ups the ante a little bit, and not only in the expectations, but on the excitement of the program surrounding it. And it's just, and I think that's kind of making it all full circle. One of the things that has frustrated Razorback fans during the Mike Anderson tenure is those types of players that they've missed out on that you felt like could have really at least grabbed the attention of fans like an Archie Goodwin or Malik Monk or even a Kayvon Allen. They haven't been there, and you haven't gotten that. You've still had good seasons, but you haven't gotten that type of recruit that just blows everybody away and ups the ante.
The problem with that, though, is unless you hire the dad or the brother or the uncle or the cousin, unless you hire that, who's getting those type of kids out of all those type of kids? I mean, because you got to think all those kids are going to Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky now, or Kansas. There are other programs, too, but the best player from Mississippi is going to Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. The best player from Texas, one of those. The best player from Arkansas, one of those. The best player from North Carolina, one of those. The best player from California, one of those. So I do understand the frustration, but everybody is missing on every single one of those guys. Like, there's not any of these schools. If you go and you look at LSU, if the best player in LSU has a Kentucky offer, now some of that may change because Will Wade was able to get the best player out of Louisiana this past year. But if the best player in the past from Louisiana has a Kentucky offer and an LSU offer, he's going to Kentucky. If the best player in Arkansas has a North Carolina offer, an Arkansas offer, he's going to North Carolina. I mean, that's just happening all over college basketball. And it's not an excuse. I'm not saying, hey, so let's give Mike a pass because it happens to everybody else. I'm just telling you the landscape of college basketball is this. So don't upset yourself over something that even the next guy that you get in here or whatever, if a kid has a Kentucky offer, an Arkansas offer, the next guy's probably going to lose out on the kid as well.
Yeah. Going to be doing the show live in Branson on Friday at the Mountain Coaster. Going to be telling you more about that. It's one of the newest attractions in Branson. So if you're making your plans to go up there for the weekend, I'm going to be giving you some details on that. We're going to be there Friday morning. So hang around. Coming up just after 8, we're going to tell you about that. But then when I leave there, can't wait because I'm headed to Gaston's. I booked my stay at Gaston's, got my 30% off my lodging here in the month of March. Still time for you to enjoy the rest of this month at 30% off when you stay two or more nights at Gaston's. And if now's not the right time, maybe you're thinking about summer, go ahead and get that perfect weekend. So if it's Father's Day weekend and you and the boys want to go and have a great weekend together, make some memories on the White River, you can do that at Gaston's because there's no better place to go and catch those trophy brown trout than at Gaston's White River Resort. And then at the end of the day, you can all tell your fish stories in their great bar and their great restaurant that overlooks the White River. 870-431-5202. Looking forward to their experience guides. It's a great dock area down there where you can just really kick back and relax. And then their expansive property where all of their cabins, all of their lodges have a great view right off your porch, right off your deck, right out your window of the gorgeous White River. 870-431-5202 or you can go online to Gaston's.com, see pictures and details of everything I'm talking about. It's all at Gaston's White River Resort, a first-class time every time.
NCAA Tournament Talk, Daniel Gafford's biggest fan, Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, joins us on the other side.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. We're going to get to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, newly of Fox Sports Radio. He's a friend of mine and honestly one of the biggest Daniel Gafford fans you'll ever meet outside the state of Arkansas. And we're going to talk to him about that as well as the NCAA tournament. Aaron, appreciate you joining us, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, John. Congratulations to you guys on the new show. I am an avid listener from all the way out here in California. Get up every day at about 4 a.m. Pacific time to listen. You guys are killing it, and thank you for letting me be part of it.
We appreciate it, for one, and the fact... So,
and question two is why?
Why are you waking up at 4 a.m.?
Why,
Well, because I heard this show was sweeping the state of Arkansas. I mean, this is 2018. You know, I'm getting older. I'm in my 30s now, and I'm not hip with all the cool things that the kids are talking about on the internet. And I heard about this show. I mean, it's just people are just tweeting about it, and, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of Instagram and Snapchat. And I just said, you know what? If the kids like this show, if this show is as big as everyone's telling me it is, I gotta get on board before it's too late. You know, it's kind of like what John said with Daniel Gafford. You know, you can't get aboard the Daniel Gafford hype train in February. It's already full, and that's how I feel about this show.
Well, as long as the kids like it, I mean, it's all about the kids, right? That's all that matters.
It is. Big demo.
So what is the future for Daniel Gafford? Is he going to put his name in the NBA draft and stay there, or is he return for another year and help save Mike Anderson?
Great question. Yeah, I mean, look, only I think only Daniel Gafford knows his situation and what he's about. But I would say that I would think that he has a better shot of returning than most, you know, really high-profile freshmen that are potential NBA lottery picks. I mean, you know, this kind of reminds me of what Robert Williams from Texas A&M went through last year, was that he came from so out of nowhere that I think at a certain point, I don't even think he realized he was an NBA draft pick. I wouldn't say necessarily the exact same for Daniel Gafford, but it came at Robert Williams so fast, and it was, you know, the NBA was something he wasn't even considering, you know, coming out of high school. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, everyone's saying he's a lottery pick. He ends up deciding to come back. Now Texas A&M is in the Sweet 16, and I think there's a lot of parallels there with Daniel Gafford. Now, you know, only he knows his situation. Only he knows if he feels he's ready. The one thing I would say is, you know, if he does one of these, I'm going to declare for the draft and go to the workouts, but I'm going to keep my eligibility. You might as well say goodbye now, because the second that he gets in front of NBA guys, they're going to salivate and they're going to see all the things that we saw this year at Arkansas. So I would hope, if you're an Arkansas fan that wants him back, that he just makes the decision. I'm not even going to test the process, because if he tests the process is going to love that kid, and he probably won't be back next year.
We've been talking about just the level of athleticism, and you mentioned him kind of coming out of nowhere. You've watched a lot of college basketball, and I guess making comparisons would be tough just because he's kind of a unique player. But just from what you've seen from him and his athleticism and his size and all the things going for him, I mean, do you feel like he's tailor-made to have a nice career in the NBA given all of his attributes?
Yeah, I do, you know. And the thing is, the NBA now is such a guard-driven, spacing, shooting league that – you know, look, I think he'll have to develop a 20-footer. I think he'll have to work on, you know, I think everything he does within 10 feet of the basket, 5 feet of the basket is probably good to go. It's everything beyond that that I think will be a work in progress, and that's just because that's where the NBA is right now. But, you know, he's got so many of those intangibles that you can't teach: the athleticism, the size, the length. And I think we all know that he is just beginning to scratch the surface of his potential. He is not one of these prospects that was groomed from, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, playing in private schools, playing against the best competition. He is still just starting to scratch the surface of his potential, which, again, is why I would be worried if he kind of either just declares outright or if he goes and tests the process, because I think everybody realizes there's so much more room for him to grow. And that give him a year, two, three, five, and he could be a really, really scary prospect.
Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio, with us here on The Morning Rush. What do you make of this tournament this year? It's truly been March Madness with all of the top seeds and a 16 beating a 1 for the first time ever. How do you sum up what we saw through the first 4 days?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think there's a nice balance. It's funny because everyone says, you know, everyone talks about all the upsets, and it's completely justified. Obviously, two number one seeds out, two number two seeds out. But you look at the Sweet 16, I mean, Duke's there, Kentucky's there, Kansas is there, Villanova's there. So it's kind of a nice blend of the kind of, I would say, traditional powers with some upstarts, obviously, Loyola Chicago, Nevada, and then kind of those in-between programs like West Virginia that maybe historically hasn't been great, but we know how good they are under Bob Huggins. You know, so you look across the board, I think it sets up for some very compelling regionals. And, I mean, you look at any of them, really, and I think you can look at them and say, okay, there's probably two or three teams that can come out of that region that wouldn't be surprised. You know, later today, I'll be headed to Staples Center where we got, you know, Michigan, Gonzaga, Texas A&M, and Florida State. And I would say out of those four teams, only Florida State probably would be stunning to make it to San Antonio. I think even though A&M is a 7 seed, we saw what they did last week to North Carolina, and they're a team that, like, I don't know that anyone would be really surprised if they won two games at Staples Center and, you know, ended up in the Final Four. So I think it's a fun balance, you know, a balance of the names we know with some of the names we don't know, with some cool stories like, you know, all that Sister Jean stuff, plus, you know, Eric Musselman at Nevada. Yeah, to me, it's been a blast of a tournament so far, and I can't wait for the games to get started again tomorrow.
Aaron, we got about 30 seconds. Just want your thought on this. You've got the gun to your head. Who wins the NCAA tournament this year? Is it a blue blood, or is it going to be somebody that comes out of nowhere?
I would say if you're saying the blue bloods are Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, then I'll even throw in Villanova. Mm. You know, I'll probably just take the field, to be honest, because I just think any team can lose on any given night. I don't know who that team would be, but like I said, whether it's a Gonzaga, whether it's an A&M, whether it's there are teams that I think can win it besides those power name brands.
Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, great stuff, my man. Appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up with you later down the road, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Second, third hour of the show. Flying by. And outside the break, this is the Morning Rush.